G'day guys, welcome back to the Dylan Friends Podcast. My name is Dylan Buckley. Bit different this week. I sat down with Tommy Sheridan and Ryan Miller, my great mates, and they interviewed me. We chatted about my illustrious career in the AFL. Few good stories along the way. Tommy Boy sure did do his research on that one. I got to give him credit and much, much more. A quick thank you to everybody who bought their Dylan Friends merch. I cannot thank you enough. The support's been incredible. There's going to be another drop come Christmas time so you can get mum and dad something and be in the good books all year. And this show would not be possible without our good friends at Bonds. Get your Bonds Aussie Cotton Tees, supporting Aussie farmers and farming communities across the country. Available in loads of colours and shapes. All right, let's go.
Hi, this is the Dill and Friends Podcast. I'm Deborah, Dylan's mum. Thanks for tuning in and I hope you like the show as much as I do. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review.
Woohoo! Gee whiz, what a show we have for you today. Some of the biggest names have been interviewed so far. AFL superstars, Stevie J, Stevie Coniglio, Lachie Neal, Paddy Cripps, Toby Green, Tommy Mitchell and Tommy Sheridan, just to name a few. Cricket legends, Mitchie Starc, Gary the Goat Lion and our boy Mitchie Marsh. UFC stars, Alexander the Great Volkanovski, who mind you has the world title fight against Max Holloway at UFC 245 coming up. Olympians, Kyle Chalmers, and now we have Dylan Buckley. How are you, son?
Trying, mate. Well done on the intro, buddy. That was fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, practiced all week for that, mate. So hopefully got the tick of approval. And it'd be remiss of me not to introduce our special guest today, Ryan Miller. Ryan, welcome.
Thanks very much, Tommy.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you here today. Ryan is the digital content coordinator at the GWS Giants and the award-winning AFLW media manager of the club. Ryan's the godfather of the podcast game and has taken this show from nothing to absolutely something. Number one on the charts, baby. Boys, how are we?
Very good, Tommy. It's nice to be at your place, and I'm realizing now that Rix is a legit business and it pays pretty well because this view is extraordinary.
Yeah, we're currently at Point Piper. This is Toby Green's house. he looks after the bills, the big tub. How are we going, gents?
Good, Train. Thanks for having me, mate. It's very exciting. I'm a bit nervous being on the other end of the mic tonight.
Oh, don't worry. I'm nervous being on the other end as well. How are you, mate? It's been a big week. And, Mad Monday week, you know, it's a good week.
It is.
It's a tough week.
It takes its toll, though.
It's where we do our best work.
Oh, it does. Yes. Mate, it's been a big week. It's been a big couple of weeks, actually. Very exciting, obviously, with the grand final, emotional. Yeah, obviously finishing up with the boys, the career is done and dusted. Gee whiz, what a career it's been. But yeah, it's been a big week. It's been a very big week. I'm sure we'll touch on it.
Yeah, we will. We will. Ryan's going to kick off proceedings today, talking about all things football. But yeah, it has been a big week.
It definitely has. I'm not as funny as Tommy, so I'm going to make sure I get the more serious stuff, if you'll allow me. Dill, did you retire or were you delisted?
Well, it depends how you look at it, mate. Delisting's a very harsh word. But no, I was definitely delisted. Yeah. It's a two-time delisting. I like to look at it a bit differently. There's no other way to look at it. I got delisted twice. But yeah, it was good, mate. Like, I left the club on really good terms. This year's been, it's been incredible. It's been a tough one, but it's been probably the best one of my life. I've only managed to play 7 games. Obviously had some calf troubles throughout the year, but leave the club on really good terms. Had a really good chat with Leon throughout the week about what was happening. And to be honest, mate, I was hoping that it would fall this way. It's funny because you're never gonna quit footy. It's a childhood dream, and I loved it so much. But sometimes you just need to be pushed. And when I walked in the meeting and had the chat with the great man, he was awesome. We had a really good chat, and we ended and we hugged, and it was fantastic.
We've had discussions throughout the year about what is going to happen in your future, and you, if we're going to be open and honest, the Savo, you were at the point that even if you got offered another deal, you were done, weren't you?
Oh, look, yeah, it's hard to say. Like you said, it is tough because you never want to quit. And I didn't want to look at it like that, but it got to the stage where my footy was going one way and my offer was going the other, and I think that one of the bad things that happened this year was obviously I was injured every week and it was hard to get out in the park, but it gave me the best opportunity to then focus all that energy into everything else. And I think it got to the stage where I was like, well, gee, do I really like footy or do I just like playing it because of the lifestyle and I don't have anything else? And when I had that other thing there, it got really exciting and I thought, well, I can have the same amount of fun that I've had playing footy but doing something different. And, you know, if I was to play another year of footy, would it have actually furthered me off field or would it have held me back? So I'm really excited. Absolutely loved my 2 years at the Giants, and I'm sure we will touch on that in depth, but it has been the best 2 years of my life, living in Sydney, moving out of home, starting the show, meeting mates up here, and gee whiz, we've had some fun. But yeah, I'm absolutely ecstatic to finish up.
We'll touch on 2019 now because it's the elephant in the room, was that your calves were no good this year. To make it a bit more serious and to bring it down a little bit, how tough was that middle period of the year where, you know, you'd had one, then you'd started to come back and you had another, and then I think was it your third or your fourth by the middle of the year? And from what I've been told, you literally just had to go home. It was a case of this is just too much. Like, you're happy to talk about how tough it is from that point of view mentally?
Yeah, definitely. It was tough. It was tough because I've had a lot of injuries over my career, but a lot of them were physical injuries where, like, it was surgery or a broken bone or a shoulder or something like that. And with a calf strain, you just don't know when it's going to go. You just lose absolutely complete confidence in your body. And yeah, when I was getting those recurring things, it got to the stage where it was really tough. But I think the best thing that ever happened for me was I did have something off field to go to. I took the podcast to number one in the charts and number one in the hearts of the Australian public. And I really just put all my energy into that. So yeah, some of those discussions though, like you said, there was that one stage where I think I'd done my fourth or fifth for the year and I was about to come back and I knew something wasn't right, but I think mentally you just keep going, you keep pushing. And yeah, I'd trained for about a week and I knew just something again wasn't right. And we'd had a few scans and nothing showed up, but it ended up being that, you know, the scans were wrong and I did have something there and that was going to pretty much put me out for the rest of the year. So I pretty much knew mid-year what was happening. Like, I wasn't oblivious to the situation, but I just tried to, yeah, just be positive about it all. And like I said, I hope you agree. I try not to be a negative person, but I try to look at the positives. And it was actually probably one of the best things because I knew what was going to happen. So the rest of the year, I just came in with the most attitude, the biggest smile, and just really loved and enjoyed my last 10 weeks because I knew that, you know, every time I walked into the gym, I was like, well, I'm not going to be doing this much longer. So let's enjoy it.
Yeah, it was something that I think these 2 years, when you look back on them, how much more that's prepared you for life after footy, and you've touched on that. We'll go more in depth into the delisting at Carlton because we got to get some laughs going because that's what the show is kind of known for. But mate, these 2 years that when you came to the Giants, you'd kind of had a real shake up, I guess, and a change of perspective when it came to life after footy. It was am I right in saying that you were doing some labouring work? You didn't kind of know where your career was heading and what exactly you were going to do once footy had finished, and it all kind of came to a close very abruptly at Carlton, and then suddenly you're thrown this lifeline. So you took it as not just an opportunity to continue playing footy, but to change what you were going to do once it all came to a close?
Yeah, definitely. It's a funny one because people laugh at this when I say it, but getting delisted at Carlton was easily the best thing that ever happened to me. I learned so much about myself in that time. It was funny because, you know, I had that meeting with, I'll take you back to the meeting I had with Leon, with Bolts, my good mate Bolts and Soss. We sat down and we had the chat at the end of the year. And again, look, I'm not oblivious. One of probably my worst/best traits is I'm pretty self-aware and I know what's going on. So I knew what was coming, but yeah, I had the chat with them and they said, look, mate, like, there's no spot on the list. I said, that's okay. And again, I was probably in the aspect of thought there where I was like, look, I sort of want to finish up anyway and do something different. But not knowing what that was, it was sort of scary. And I think that when I actually finished, I was like, well, shit, I don't actually have anything here. And I don't want to be, you know, no disrespect to the people that do this, but I didn't want to go and sign at a local club, get a job with one of their sponsors, and then have to owe my life to the rest of them and live a lifestyle that I don't really want to live. I wanted to do my own thing and be my own man. And obviously, living in Melbourne, it's hard to do that because I didn't have any qualifications. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Obviously, this was the end goal, was to do this, but I hadn't started it. I hadn't done it. So it was really scary. And there was like 3 months there when I just didn't know what I was going to do. I had a mortgage. I was living at home. And yeah, I was just so lucky that I spoke about this on Cogs's podcast, but got the call up from the Giants, flew up, had the meeting, went really well, and then they said to me they'd let me know soon, and they did. They let me know. Long story short, they ended up taking me, and I made a vow to myself that I'd never want to be in that position again of not knowing what was next.
Where do you get that positivity from? Because you talk about the being yourself because everyone else is taken, and that's something that you clearly live your life based on because of your haircut. but how do you keep drawing on that from the well when, you know, given at the middle of the year, it was probably almost dry?
Yeah, it is. It is tough.
Do you think it's because you're a fringe player? I know what it's like.
Yeah.
And we just...
You just get by.
Well, I think the more elite you are, the less vibe you give. I think, yeah. You know.
No, 100%. It is. You're right, mate. Like, when you are in and out, you're in and out, and you get these sort of things, you get these setbacks, you just got to make the most of every situation. And for me, just laughter is the way to do it. Like, taking the piss out of myself is a lot easier than not doing it. And I've always been one of those guys that does that pretty easily. So that is definitely one aspect. Another one, I know this, I don't want to get too deep on us, but Tommy would know this. One of my best mates, when I was 21, he actually died in a car accident. And that really hit me for six. And that was crazy that time. And that's something that I still like always think about now, because people always said to me, things happen for a reason, and I hated when people said that, because I was always like, well, why do things happen for a reason? Like, that, you know, like him dying isn't for a reason. Like, that's no reason. Like, even if I win out of that situation, it's not bigger than a life. But one thing that I always sort of, I flipped that quote, and I said it last week as well, but it's not what happens, it's how you react to it. So that was the biggest thing that I have taken out of that situation. Like, that didn't happen for me to learn that, but that's a positive that I've taken out of it. Something shit happened, this is what I can learn out of it. So every day, that's the biggest thing that I'd think about, is just how I react to situations, because there's two ways to go, you know. Like, I could sit around and, like, a sad sack of shit when I was injured and moped around, but instead, thanks to Tommy, you know, he helped me out, and we just laughed it off, and we just enjoyed it, and gee whiz, we had a good time.
Well, I reckon have a good time now, but we're going to do that by going all the way back to the beginning. And you grow up with a dad who's a Carlton legend.
Yeah.
At what age did you realise who he was and exactly the influence that he had around that club?
Yeah, it was funny. It's a funny question, because I didn't start playing footy till I was six. I did Auskick once, didn't love it. I wasn't really into footy. I purely started playing footy because my mates did, and I just thought that everyone's dad played footy. I didn't realise till probably around under 15s when I was smacking Toby Green in the under 15s grand final, dominating him.
Can you touch on the midfield v midfield in that game? Oh, Toby's
incredible.
Told me their midfield.
Toby's mid. I still this story I harp on about, but it's actually incredible.
You guys won.
We won. A team of champions beats a champion team beats a team of champions.
they had Viney,
Jack Viney,
Tom Mitchell, and Toby Green,
and
was there a ruckman?
They had Max Tom Curran, who was at North Melbourne for a couple of years, and they also had a guy that's at Collingwood now, Rupert Wills.
Yeah,
so that's
unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And
apparently he couldn't get a game. The midfielder was that strong.
And they actually had a few other players that didn't get picked up that should have as well. They were very, very good team.
And then your team?
My team was myself, obviously. And to be honest, I was a role player. Brock McLennan, my best mate, one of the best junior footballers to ever play the game. Michael Mascoulis, we touched on him earlier, unfortunately passed away. Hal Hunter, who had a few years at Essendon. And we had Dougie Morris, a few household names.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. I guess what's that?
Five or six from their team got drafted. I got picked up, and Michael Mascoulis went to West Coast for 2 years, and Hal went to Essendon for 2 years.
Probably Cannon Boy Hal, one of the scariest men to grow up under 16.
We might give Hal a shout out, because he has got an unbelievable tattoo studio now. He's covered head to toe. He's one of the most arty, coolest blokes I've ever met in my life. Still one of my best friends today. So check out Hal Hunter's tattoo studio.
We'll go back to the question.
Oh, what was it, Dad?
Yeah, it was about your dad.
Well, Tommy could probably answer this. Yeah. Tommy could probably answer this better because he loves Jimmy.
Well, I do love Jim.
We better fill in that the Jim's a three-time premiership player and a best and fairest at Carlton. Yeah. So it's not just that he played footy and he played 164 games.
Yeah, he's I didn't realise he was such a star till we rocked up to under-16s Vic Metro training and Dill's shaking the head. I'm surprised he's gone fit through the door. But all the parents were just going, geez, that's Jimmy Buckley's son. Who's Jim? You know, he's a bit older. We didn't really know that era. But until you go online and see what he's done, it's quite impressive. And as Dill will say, three between you, so one and a half each.
One and a half each, we share them.
But to Dill's credit, under-16s, when I did first meet, geez, he was a superstar.
He was a powerhouse. But look, I'm going to get back to the question again because we've zoned off three times.
Sidetracked. It's all good.
Growing up, going to Carlton with Dad. Look, I always say this. My old man never ever put pressure on me once to play footy, and it wasn't until I made the decision that I wanted to play that I actually did. When I got to the club, obviously it was incredible knowing that he'd had such an illustrious career there, three flags. But I say this, and I hope it makes sense. He'd always been my dad, so I didn't know anything different. I didn't know what it was like to have a dad that didn't play footy. Did I feel the pressure? Not at all. Should I have? Probably. Would I have gone better? Yeah, probably if I did. I don't know. But no, I think it's just really proud for me. Like, I go back there now and people always tell me how much they love him and good to see him. And, you know what fans are like, Tommy. They're pretty honest and they tell me if I was half the player he was, I might have got a few more games.
Yeah, you delete Twitter. You delete Twitter if you have a real terrible game. You still got Twitter?
Oh, I do. I don't check it too often.
Yeah. Now, the fans are brutal, but we love their honesty.
We love the honesty because one thing you learn in a footy club and the footy world is if there's something wrong with it, you're going to find out pretty quickly.
Especially with social media these days. Yeah, your dad probably would have found out over the fence. Buckley, your shit.
Yeah, well, I think back in his day, he'd probably just meet him at the pub and beat the crap out of him.
Not a lot of people know this, but your godfather is Alex Jezolenko?
Yes. Yeah, it's true.
How many Carlton people have come around to the house that if it was, say, me being a footy nuffy and they walked in, my jaw would drop at who they are and what they achieved. But for you, that was normal, right?
Yeah, it was. It was normal. Again, I didn't know what these guys had done or who they were. And
Unky Alex only took the greatest mark of all time in the grand final.
No, it was strange. But I've been blessed that I've grown up in that sort of environment, I suppose. And even my cousin, you know, his old man is Jeff Miles, who played for Geelong, Collingwood, and West Coast, and his son Tay plays at Hawthorn now. And his sister, so my cousin as well, is actually married to Mitch Duncan. So it's the family's full of footy, and it is really cool. But it's I've been very blessed.
Well, another part of the Carlton connection is even deeper for maybe some people in Melbourne, because I don't think it was allowed to be viewed for a while, but there was a pretty big TV series that came out in the early 2000s called Underbelly, and the Carlton crew was central to that. There's scenes of them at Princess Park watching training and all that type of stuff. Your dad had a connection to them in some way or knew them or because through the footy club? Can you explain that type of stuff? We're talking the Alphonse Gangitanos and those kind of gangsters.
Yeah, yeah. It's connection, loosely connection, I think you'd probably want me to say. But I think they were just, you know, they were just obviously big supporters of the club. They loved it. Growing up, obviously, Dad was, you know, played some good footy there and was a bit of a character himself. So they'd hang out, you know, at the games and post-matches and whatnot. And, yeah, some of the stories are pretty funny. You know, I'm pretty sure that Dad's jumper was actually buried with Alphonse when he died in the coffin. That's something that's been crossed across. So that's pretty crazy. There was murmurs of myself, my sister, and myself being babysitted by some certain underworld figures that we can't mention back in the day. Again, I don't remember that, but yeah, it is crazy. But like I said, it was more just because they were just, you know, good people, and they didn't want anything out of the ordinary, just wanted good company, and I suppose they got it.
It certainly did. Mate, well, let's fast forward to 2010. You're 18 months from even being eligible to be drafted, and Carlton put you in front of a camera and announced that you're going to be a father and son selection because of the fear of the Giants potentially taking you as an underage player.
Yeah, it's funny how it works. Ended up here anyway, but no, it's great. I remember they had the pre-listing rule. They take the 17-year-olds, and obviously Carlton were keen at that stage. And yeah, signed up when I was, you know, I was still in school. And I don't regret anything in my career at all. I never ever regret anything because I've learned so much. But it's probably the worst thing that ever happened, I think. I just didn't realise what it took to have to work to get somewhere. I look at Tommy now and all these guys, they probably way overtook me in my 17th and 18th year because I just thought, look, I'm already there. I'm just going to get a Carlton and play 300 games and go from there. And it just doesn't work like that. It's you know, we joke around, but you really got to put in the work. And I don't think I did back then when I was a young kid and got there and really got hit in the face my first 2 years, played one game. And it probably took to my third year. And I'm lucky I signed 3 years because who knows if I would have got there. But Scotland really sat me down one day and he hit me between the eyes. And it was the first time someone had really given me really harsh feedback. He said, mate, like, look, I'm going to be retiring. And if you don't pull your finger out, like, you'll be coming with me. So do you want to take my spot or not? And from there on, he just, you know, I did boxing with him every week and he took me everywhere. And still to this day, he's one of my biggest sort of supports. And if I need feedback for anything, not just footy, but just life, he's really taught me about working hard. And again, it didn't really work out in footy for me, but I've taken that mindset into off field and just life.
Did he change the way you thought about footy then? Or is he your biggest non-coaching influence, I guess?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, he'd be the biggest influence I've ever had in footy, easily. He's just a hard... honestly, one of the best players I've ever played with. People say he's very underrated, but left and right foot, I've never seen anything like it. He's incredible, incredible player and incredible person. So I owe him a lot. I definitely owe him a lot because he has taught me a lot. And I'm absolutely rapt for him to get a position. I think he's assistant coach now at North Melbourne, which is incredible. So I can't wait to see how he goes.
So who was at the club at the time that you joined, player-wise? Did you have... was Favola still there, or had he gone to Brisbane by that stage?
Nah, Feb wasn't there.
Eddie Betts?
Cooter wasn't there. Dooley wasn't there. Eddie Betts was there. We had...
Because what year did he leave?
He left the year... So I had 1 year with him, I think, yeah. Or 2 years maybe.
So and that's why you actually managed to win a Goal of the Year award for Carlton, because yeah, he wasn't there.
Yeah, we should talk on that.
Well, let's talk on it, because we've all kicked a few snags in our time.
Oh, 2015 goal and mark of the year in the one season.
2015 was a good year. It was a good year. We could probably do a whole episode on 2015. it was a good year. No, I just got opportunity, and my very good mate, and people think I'm joking, but I do love this bloke, Mickey Malthouse. Mickey Milkshakes gave me a lot of opportunity. He gave me a lot of opportunity.
Milkshakes.
And I don't know if that's speaking volumes of him, or just maybe he was losing it and started giving me games. I don't know, but I was playing under him, you know, whenever he was coaching, and he was giving me good opportunity, and I was playing some good footy, and did some cool things, but he was awesome for me.
I think it was you kicked the goal against the Bulldogs, and you kind of got a bit of congratulations from a Bulldogs fan over the fence, and it was like it was really weird. If you watch the vision, it's normally you'd kind of cop a spray over the fence, but they were polite enough to actually give you a bit of clap. Do you reckon it was a sympathy clap, or given that you barely get a kick normally? Or
whack. yeah, you could say that. You could say
Can
that.
You actually taught me
this
through,
is coming from the guy that's never played.
I'm looking forward to social media. You'll no doubt have this edited tonight.
I've got it as a screensaver, but I'll chuck it up on social media.
Talk me through the players if you're Brian Taylor.
Well, I was playing half back with Tommy, whereas, you know, like I said, mate, that's probably where I played my best footy. Giants drafted me as a forward. I don't know what they were thinking. But I took it because there was nothing else. And I just up the forwards' ass, mate, just defending, and saw it little spurt out there and just bang on the left on the boundary. I was actually, some people thought I was having a pie in the stands. I was that far back, and it's just gone straight through. I don't know how, logistically wise, I don't know how it went through. It was incredible. And got around me on the fence, and that was definitely one of the good ones.
It's a good feeling when you walk in the... Did you get the win that night?
Probably not.
But you would have thought, oh, well, I've kicked goal of the year. Done
yeah.
my job.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And that's all that matters. Personal accolades. No, you know what? I just totally remember this game. It's actually funny because this game, again, I was playing half back, and young player by the name of Caleb Daniel actually debuted this night. And he was on the sub and he came on, and You know when you're playing halfback, you go, yes, I'm taking this bloke. Because you just think, like, I'm on tonight.
He wears a helmet. He's definitely soft.
He's debuting. He's wearing a helmet. I've just kicked goal of the year. This is going to be fucking fantastic.
I'll take this bloke.
It's going to be great.
We all do that halfback.
I've dead set him up for one of the best careers of all time. I'm not even kidding, mate. He had about 15 on me in a quarter. And I was trying to hand him over to everyone. Yaz was playing that game as well. And I was like, Yaz, bruv, we'll swap. He goes, nah, bruv. And I was like, oh, God, okay. So, Caleb Daniel, mate, I'm still waiting for a thank you because I've set him up for one of the best careers of all time. I've given him nothing but confidence going into that career.
Set him up for a flag.
Sorry to remind you. Bulldogs should be paying me.
We'll have to get him on the show.
Yeah. Mate, the mark of the year as well, taken on one of your all-time great mates. Oh,
it's touched on, mate. We'll talk about it again. It was one of the best marks of all time. Nothing but bravery. People talk about Jonathan Brown, Nick Riewoldt, but they don't talk about Dylan Buckley in the same sentence. It was a clearance. Trent Cotchin, I think it was. One of many, probably. And I was playing. I got the job on Lids that night. Ball going over the head, and you know me, I'm a junkyard dog, mate. I'm going for it. Brave as all come. Brett DeLiddio didn't want a bar of it. He knew it was going back. He didn't want to put his body on the line, but I've nudged him under. Tip. I've fallen over actually mid.
I think you landed on your head.
I've tripped. I've actually tripped. People think I dive, but I actually tripped, and somehow I've marked it. To this day, I'll be honest, I didn't know Jack Riewoldt was behind me. And it's looked like I've done the bravest thing ever and fully just taken his legs out from under him. But I didn't know that. And, yeah, that was a good one.
And we love telling Lids that story in the
room. Oh, my. It's actually me and Brett, we've bonded this year, you know, over a lot of calf injuries and just good times. He's a great man. But I'm telling you now, if there's one bloke that doesn't like that story, it's Brett Lydia. I'm genuinely just joking about that story, but not really because it's true.
He actually gave you a mention in his retirement speech.
He gave me a mention in the retirement speech, ending it saying, look,
I want to
address something here. There's been a lot of rumours being spread about me and my career, and I was thinking, gee whiz, what's going on here? Something actually happened. He took it back. He named the stats of that night and, brought out his Tissot watch that he actually won on me. So he got the last laugh.
He definitely doesn't take the drag to the goal square thing too well.
No, he doesn't, because that's not true. I didn't take him to the goal square. I was playing on him, so it is funny. He's a very competitive man, Brett, but we love a bit of banter, don't we?
We do. He's ultra competitive.
You touched on Mick Malthouse, but your coaches as well, Brett Radden at the time. What was he like as a coach? Given especially now he's the Saints coach.
So I've got a funny story about Brett Radden, actually. My first year, like I said, I've probably painted the picture lightly, but I just had no idea what I was doing. One game I'd kick four, and then the next game I'd literally have no possessions at all, and I remember we had this one game out at Box Hill in the VFL, and I think I'd literally had two touches. And he came up to me one day, he goes, what are you doing? I was like, this is like the Monday after. And I was like, oh, mate, I just don't know what happened. He goes, no. Like, what are you doing? I was like, no, I honestly don't, I'm not sure. He's like, yeah, right. And then just walked off.
we love that.
That was great for the confidence.
What a way to fill him with confidence.
Yeah,
as well.
That was great. So, it was good.
What were you doing that day? It's pretty tough.
I think he was right. It was a fair question because I wasn't playing footy. it was a fair question.
I reckon it's harder to get two touches than it is to get 40.
100%. 100%. Haven't had 40, but I've had two. So I'll try the 40 next time. Brett Ram was awesome, and I'm absolutely rapt to see him get another gig. He's been great for me as well. We've always kept contact, and he's been really, really good.
Do you think he was harshly done by
Carlton?
Yeah,
100%. Looking back now, when you're 18, you have no idea. But I think we made the finals that year, and he got let go, was it?
It may have been Mick that got you guys to finals the first year there.
Carlton definitely made finals in West Coast. I remember we played West Coast in a final.
You played or?
Oh, I was watching. I definitely remember because we were watching that. So
Stiff.
Yeah. I was stiff that week. I just come off two and I was hoping to get called up. He was definitely done by. And yeah, I'm not one to comment on that, but I have no idea. But yeah, it was exciting that he's got the new job.
Last one at Carlton being Brendan Bolton.
Yeah, so I had Mick, Rats, Mick, Johnny Barker for a few weeks. And then Bolts, who was, you know, he's one of a kind, Bolts. He was one of the most switched on units I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anything like it. Probably a little bit too switched on for me. That's probably why it didn't work out too well. I was overthinking everything too much, but he's an incredibly elite thinker of the game and sees the game, so he's going to do good things in the future. And then obviously Lethal Leon Cameron, he was fantastic as well. One of the best masterclass of coaching I've seen, getting the boys into the finals, it was unreal.
We're going to touch on Brendan Bolton though. With your exit interview, you kind of told me a bit of a story about how that happened, where for a while in 2017 you were going to still be at Carlton. Sorry, no, 2018 you were still going to be at Carlton, because the end of 2017 season, your exit interview, and for a while there you were going to be contracted. And
oh yeah, yeah, well I actually wasn't going to be contracted, but they said they were going to do that. So basically what happened was, when I was getting delisted, they said, look, Dil, we're going to let you go, but because I really got on with them well, and because I'm just a genuine good bloke, they said, we're not going to delist you yet, we're going to keep you and try and trade you. And yeah, that was unreal. So basically, yeah, it was a very emotional meeting. We had Stephen Savani and Bolts in there, and we're all sort of tearing up and saying goodbye. But we had to keep it on the down low for like nearly 6 months. Oh, not six, it would have been probably 3 months that they were going to list me. Everyone knew. They weren't stupid. I hadn't played that year. I played one game that year, and they knew that I was going to go. So it was really nice the way they did that for me, though. I still appreciate it to this day.
I reckon we've missed something though here in the 2016 season. Tommy, you've got it down there, a certain game against Essendon.
Nah.
Tommy, comes in with a bloody computer. We talk about it before, that we're going to talk about the all-time great behind.
Oh, where, I didn't know it was 2016. Come
on, oh, mate.
So that was a career.
Let me just touch on that one.
Yeah, I've come seen on, the bring footage. It in, Tommy. Let's go.
Yeah. I didn't know which year it was.
This is incredible.
The professionalism of this podcast.
It is an unbelievable one. I think every bloke that watches TV and watches footy, and a bloke that kicks a what he thinks is a goal and he misses and carries on, you call him an absolute peanut. Bucks, talk us through this one, because you've carried on for like 30 seconds, and Jesus, a good celebration.
Look, Tommy, you know one thing about me, mate, that's I love a goal. I love a goal because I love a chocolate. And it's, yeah, it was disappointing. On the G, the second home there for a few years, I was just tearing it up as per usual. And I think big Joey Denno was chasing me. I just shrugged him off and bang, straight through, flushed it. As you know, and the fans will, I love one from outside 50. And yeah, it was heading straight through, and I've counted the chickens before they've hatched.
How
and
many
just
metres
taken
till
off.
It went through, you reckon you got?
I've off the boot called it.
Yeah. I've off and the turned boot, around.
Turned around.
Just, Steph Curry like, just, yeah, just yeah, going just in.
Off the boot, just going, whoa, that felt good.
Someone's and, giving you a high five as well as you've come
oh,
through.
Oh yeah, me and Nick Graham, then Puss Graham, we were just going off celebrating. I was giving it to the crowd, absolutely going bananas. Oh, and it would have been probably a good 10-second celebration. We're still carrying on, and they've kicked the point in. The boys already played on, and I remember Cade Simpson goes, "Oi, f***ing set up!" And I was like, "Shit, all right."
To be honest, though, if there was an award for behind of the year, you'd probably
that
take
was it
home as well.
The gut-wrenching feeling was, it didn't hit me till after the game, where one of the boys said to me, "Mate, that's so embarrassing," and I go, yeah, shit, that's going to be everywhere. That's going to be everywhere. And it was.
Which we love. We love that.
We loved it. Good press.
When you played 41, you need some. Oh, 100%. You need some limelight.
And if that's what I'm known for, then I'm pretty wrapped.
Yeah, it's exactly right. It's still up there on Reddit as well if you want to go check it out.
Nah, that's
you
not,
won't want to, but
not.
Maybe the listeners will.
No, they will.
So, Dil, I've got some random questions here, mate. Very random.
Ooh.
So talk us through, so apparently your beautiful mother, Deborah, we'll give her a shout out.
Oh, she's a stunning, can I give a quick shout out to Mum? Because she listens to every episode, obviously, and she's a star. Couldn't have done it without you, Mum. Absolutely the best person in the world, so thank you.
Very nice.
Oh, and can I give her a shout out as well?
No, she hates you.
You're going to give her a shout out?
Yeah, come on. Like, thanks for it. I left my wallet, and last year we recorded a podcast with
Razor Ray,
and I left my wallet in Dil's car, and she was nice enough not just to give it back, but she actually like wrapped it up in gift paper.
Yeah,
so it was pretty special.
She's incredible.
Dil must be adopted, I can tell you.
He would have taken the wallet and the cash.
Back to Deb, is it true she still cuts your hair with a bowl?
Oh, for the point of the podcast, yeah, okay. Yep, yep.
What do you call it? Like the old,
I call
is it a mullet?
I call it the I call it the business in the front, party in the back, brother. It's party, just, it's mate. Very, it's very just, this bloke's, you look at him and you go, geez, this bloke's means business. And then he turns around and you go, but he has a bit of fun as well, doesn't he? Wow.
Oh, shit, yeah.
He's a good man. But no, look, the haircut, look, mate, as I said, be yourself, everyone else is taken. It every year, it's funny, I look back on my haircuts and I go, geez, that stinks. And I go, at least I've got a good one now. So I know that, like, I'm going to think that in 2 years' time.
Oh, moving on to your old man. Is it true that you still kiss him on the lips?
That is a genuine... I just don't even know why you put that in now, because I can tell people are just going to... Why would you even think of that?
I don't know, mate. I asked Deb and she said he still kisses him on
you
the lips.
You asked who? Who'd you ask?
Deb.
Oh, that is weird. But yes, I do.
Peter Jackson, the great director of Lord of the Rings, did he call you first play Frodo? Is that true?
Oh, far out. Yes, mate. Yes. What do you want
You've
me to
been go? Stopped there, though, internationally.
Yeah,
You've
internationally. Internationally,
right
now. Yep, yep. In South America, we're in, where were we? Somewhere. It was good. And yeah, we're out at having a few beers, a few quiet ones. And a girl came up to me, and obviously I don't speak Spanish too well. Unless after a six pack, I speak it pretty well.
Six pack.
And then a girl came up to me and she had a necklace. And on the necklace was a ring. And she's just like putting it in front of my face. And I was like, what are you doing? Are they just trying to hypnotize me or something like that? I was like, what is going on? And she goes, Frodo, I found the ring. And I was like, oh my God. And for then, like, I'd always known that there was a few resemblance people knew. And that hit me then. I was like, gee whiz, I must actually f-ing look like this bloke.
One of my biggest regrets, Tommy, is that Elijah Wood was in Sydney this year. I don't think it was like, what's that expo?
Comic-Con.
And it's one of my biggest regrets is that we didn't get them together, because that would have been amazing. What's going to happen? He'll become on the pod. Get him on the pod.
Yeah, he'll come on.
We need him on here. Now, this is quite fresh. Unfortunately, you've been delisted twice.
Two-time.
I've
Dad's
been
a three-time,
once.
I'm a two-time. Just different things.
Now, it is very sad, but is it true... Is it true that Juz has given you a present for being delisted the second time, but not the first time?
Yes, it is. It is true. She, the beautiful girl, my beautiful partner of nearly 10 years, gave me a nice watch for being delisted. And gee whiz, it's beautiful. Tissot, thank you very much for that.
Looks a bit like Brett Deledio's from Saturday
It does look a bit like that. It does look a bit like earning one on me. But no, she gave me that. She also gave me another book of all... the photos of my career in a book, and it was the only time I've teared up this week.
Dill's not even updated the clock for daylight saving, so he's now behind at the moment.
We all do know that he loves telling the time in the locker room.
You're wrong.
Okay. Moving on.
Moving on. So, you've got a pretty good rig. I can't talk. I've got a sloppy rig, but is it true that your Carlton gym coach banned you from wearing singlets in the gym?
That's 100% true. 100%. I was there for 6 years.
That's quite rough.
And it was funny because, you know, when you go to a club and you're skinny, and, you know, you can probably comment on this because, you're never skinny, but you go to a club and you look around in your first week and you go, all right, well, this bloke's been there for 3 years. He's got that rig, so I'll have that in 3 years. And then this bloke's been there for six. Gee whiz, I'll get 6 years. I'll get that rig. Just never happened. It just didn't work out like that for me. And... We had a good weights coach at Carlton. His name was Rexy Livingston, and he was one of the most ruthless blokes you'll ever meet in your life. And we got along really well, but as you can imagine, I like to talk a lot. He didn't like that. Got myself into a bit of trouble, and one of the punishments that ended up lasting for 6 years was I wasn't allowed to wear singlets in the gym. He told me that my arms were disgusting, and he never wanted to look at them.
Well, geez, lucky I didn't go to Carlton.
You would have been wearing a skivvy. How are you, Tommy boy?
Oh, before I tell you, what are you wearing?
This tee?
Yeah, the t-shirt.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
Oh, tell me more about it.
Mate, it's an Aussie cotton tee from Bonds. It's an everyday wardrobe essential. It's available in loads of colours, lots of shapes, and it's one of your favourite basics.
Oh, Bonds have done it again. Tell me more about it.
Mate, the best thing about it is that when you buy one, you're supporting Aussie farmers and farming communities across the country. Can it get any better than that?
Woohoo! I don't think it can, Dill.
Head to www.bonds.com.au.
Hang on a second. Say it again.
www.bonds.com.au.
Yoo-hoo! All right, mate. So we're going to talk about footy experiences, some unique ones.
Yeah.
Rehab. We've been in rehab, oh, I think, most of the year, unfortunately.
For footy, not for...
Yeah, yeah. We should be in another rehab mentally because we've lost our minds doing these cross-training sessions. What's it like when Brad Newton, the great man, he comes up to you, Dill, and he goes, oh, Dill, you've just done your 18th calf. Here's a 1600 swim.
Oh, Brad, it's hard. For all for those people who don't know, at every club there's a bloke, and they're always the best blokes, which makes it the hardest. And they're the blokes that run the rehab programs, and obviously you want to be training. So when you're not training... You've just done a calf. You walk off the track. You don't really want to talk to anyone. And poor old Brad walks up to me and says, "Hey, mate, how you going? Here's a, you've done your 8th calf. Here's a 20-minute bike program." And I go, "Brad, go f*** yourself, mate. Seriously, I've just done my 8th calf." And Brad copped it. He copped it a bit from me this year because I couldn't be bothered doing bikes and doing ellipticals. And I did apologise to him at the BNF, actually. He did see the worst of me.
There was one moment, though, at rehab. We walked over to the pool. It was in pre-season, actually. And we were with a couple of big key positioners. So they got the rig out to swim a few laps. And there was, I think there was, I don't know, we'll just say a few schools there for a big carnival. It was packed arena. Mm-hmm. And they thought we were Olympic swimmers. And you've got up on the diving board and said... Have a look at these girls, and you've done the big frog splash. I think it was probably one of their highlights of the year.
Yeah, it was good. It was funny at the Giants actually getting cheered for once, but there was a big crowd there. And I jumped up on the diving blocks, and they must have thought I was Ian Thorpe. I don't know what they thought, but I was clap. I did the old clap, and they were getting around me. They went nuts. They literally thought I was Justin Bieber. And for 50 metres, it was incredible.
Yeah, it was unique. Even the they even had security run out and pull these school kids away. One of the highlights of the year for Man U. Let's touch on the fans. We love the fans.
We do. We're very
grateful for their honesty. Talk to me about the good and the bad.
There's no bad, Tommy. They're all good, mate. They're all good. No, it's been good. I've obviously been at Carlton, which is a massive club, and they've got some incredible supporters. Be remiss of me not to mention a few. Tina at Carlton, she was, you know, from day one, she just jumped on board and supported everything I've ever done. So thank you to her. And young Jack from the Giants, gee whiz, he's a good man. Young Jack, he's made him and his mum and dad and sister, they make some fantastic signs. They get to the Giants games and subscribe to the Dylan Friends podcast. Sign gets around. Dylan Buckley, you rock. It's quite embarrassing because there's no other signs around there. But just, you know, they come to the knee full and there's about four people watching and they've got this sign by 3 metres, just Dylan Buckley rocks. Everyone thinks it's my mum. But the support you get in the AFL and even just everyone that's listening, thank you so much. It's been awesome and I hope you join in.
Have you had bad experiences though?
Have I had bad experiences? Obviously you've got bad experiences in everything, but you just got to try and take it with a grain of salt. I think when you're a footy player, people think that you're invincible and you can sort of take anything. And I suppose I'm a pretty jovial character, so people think that they're my best mate straight away. And I think sometimes things can come off the wrong way when people say them. But I know it's all coming from a good spot. But yeah, I think that would be one thing that is tough when people just sort of come in and say things where you sort of, they probably haven't got the runs on the board to say that.
Do you cop that
because I've just met them.
Do you cop that as well, Tommy, given the kind of shtick that you guys have had on the Sunday footy show from time to time where you pair up, they see, you know, the larger than life personality at times and they come waltzing in and, you know, they expect something different?
Oh, you just give them everything you got. There's not many of them, so you give them plenty. But there, you don't go on Facebook and scroll through the comments. You'd be silly. Cam Sutcliffe, big shout out to him. When we were at Freo last year, gee whiz, some of the comments that he used to screenshot and send me. Just I said, Cam, give it a rest, pal. Yeah.
I've been pretty lucky. I've never copped anything too vicious. Yeah. From...
I think we were called the turnover merchants. I said, Cam, that's you, not me. Oh, geez, I've copped it. But, you know, we love that. That's just a part of it. But, yeah. Dill, So when you were drafted, you were talked about as one of the, you know, one of the most lightning blokes off the mark.
He was.
Amazing skills, powerful right peg, especially outside 50. So you enter the halftime sprint, GWS Grand Final. Everyone's going, you're beauty.
Yes.
And you haven't made the final.
Oh, mate.
I mean, what are you doing?
No, it's
a bit like what your old coach said. What was that?
Seriously.
What was that, mate?
One thing about me, Tommy, and I think you've got the same problem. I've got a big mouth. And it was the week before.
I do have a massive mouth.
The week before, I at training had, again, we talk about it, but I'd done my calf at training. And I said, it's my last 2 weeks. I'm not even going to report this. I'm just going to get through because I want to train with the boys and be a part of it. Grand final week, get the boys up and about.
Oh, geez, you lost your voice getting them up. The old 1-2.
I did, and I didn't want to miss out, so I didn't say anything. But when they came to me and said, do you want to do the grand final sprint? I said, yeah, mate, I'm keen. Bit of cash involved. Big fellas out there. So I totally forgotten about the calf. And then I remembered, and I thought, well, geez, I can't say it because I want to train next week. I was in a bit of a dilemma. Then I got in the show, pumped myself up, going, hey, I'm going to win the sprint. And all in my mind, I'm thinking, I've got a torn calf. I'm not even going to get through this race. So, got out there, did the heat. Unfortunately, didn't qualify because I could hardly run. But gee whiz, there were some fast boys out there, mate.
Yeah, I've done that as well a couple of years ago, come seventh in the heat. Yeah, they're quicker than you think, don't they?
Big Ben King.
Straight line running is different on the field, isn't it?
It was funny, mate, because I had him for about 30 metres and I was the first 30 I was out there in the front. I just nearly started celebrating. And
unlike you to go early.
No, it's not like me to go early and everything, to be honest. But they just came humming home and I thought, you can have it, mate. Well done.
Geez, you've had a good career. You know me, mate, I'm not the best at English when I was at school, but no, very good at math.
Yeah.
You played 41. It's an average of 5.1 games a year.
Gee whiz.
What was your best year?
What are the stats? 215 was when I won everything.
Yeah. How many games
should
you play
have
that
won
year?
The Brownlow.
Should have interviewed Razor a few.
Don't worry, a few years earlier.
Average 0.4 goals a game. We'll blame that on halfback.
Yeah. No. I kick more goals at halfback than half forward. Half forward's the worst position in the game.
Who was your forward coach? You won't like hearing that.
Don't worry.
Subbed off 25 times and forced a rule change.
Get out of it.
You're a good man, mate. You got rid of the sub rule for me.
I told you the story about getting subbed off, and that was when I tried for that 45 metre angle kick into the middle of the ground at Etihad. And Mick didn't like that one.
No, they don't like the 45s. Rossi Lyon used to call them the hot dogs.
Just down the line, buddy. I said, okay.
Trying to work out what a hot dog still is. Just kick it on a 45 in the back line. You'll work it out. As you know, one of my closest mates at the Giants, it's been a very tough week seeing you go. But what was even tougher was seeing you leave the WhatsApp group.
Oh, that hurt.
You are the king of memes. I've been on the end of them, which I love. What was it like? It doesn't look good. When you left, it was like, oh, that sucks.
That really hurt. I remember I woke up after the BNF and thought, you know, that's last sort of formality, and didn't want to be one of those blokes that holds on. And I was probably a little bit hungover, a little bit depressed. And I thought, gee whiz, maybe it's time now to just send the boys a message and you know, get out of there. So I just sort of sent a message saying, boys, it's been bloody fantastic. Thanks so much for everything. You know, I'll always be there if you need me. And I'm here for you if you need me. And just did the old leave group. And gee whiz, that was one of the toughest. It was hard. It was actually really hard to say goodbye. And the WhatsApp group at any club is fantastic. And gee whiz, we have some banter in it. And especially over the last 4 weeks, we've been sending in some very, very funny material, and most of it's mine. And more or less, I just feel sorry for you guys.
You're just not going to have anyone to do anything. You did say if anyone needs to do ground balls, you'll be here. So I think you've had 20 blokes hit you up.
Tommy, is it true that the first message straight after he left the group was saying, he's gone?
From multiple blokes, actually. Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so moving on to a few household stories. I've got a few, actually.
This is what I'm nervous about.
So, is it true you burnt your eyebrows off trying to light a stove when you cooked your first meal in your new house?
Tommy, I did not burn my eyebrows off. I burnt my face off.
Talk me through this one.
Oh yeah, I don't know if I've spoken about this before, but basically it was it was dangerous. You know me, I panic a bit. I always do two things, three things at once, and gee whiz, I was doing it that day. I had a house in McLeod and I was doing a bit of stuff outside. I just ordered a wood chipper for some reason. I'd cut down a tree and thought, why not make some fucking tan bark for the day, and thought that would be pretty funny. It wasn't. And yeah, then I was going inside. I was about to head out for dinner, so I just had a shower. I was heading out for dinner and thought, I'm pretty hungry, so I might quickly heat up something on the stove. Not sure why I did that. I was just about to eat. And the gas wasn't working because my plumber, my best mate, obviously didn't know how to do it properly. And so I had the gas on, had the phone at my ear ordering the wood chipper. And instead of just turning the gas off and doing it again, I was like, oh, I saw some lighters earlier. I'll go and get them. So I was looking for the lighters for about a minute while the gas is still just going all in the kitchen, on the phone to ordering this wood chipper. And I've leant down to light. I had the phone placed between my ear and my shoulder, leaning down to light up the match, to light the gas. And I lit my face on fire. It was undoubtedly one of the stupidest things I've ever done. And straight away I knew something wasn't right. I'd actually just put on aftershave, which didn't help as well. I'd lit it up. So basically, I just sort of like, you know, when something like that happens, you just sort of think, shit, just give it 3 seconds, just see what's going on. Because obviously, hey, nothing had kicked in yet. I was just thinking, like, what's going on here?
Let's talk about you looked in the mirror and you go, righto, what I'm going to do is...
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I hadn't even, like, at this stage, I'd just been like, all right, shit, that... I can smell some burnt hair. Face is...
melted.
Like, genuinely...
What did you put? Like, you put a hot... Did you put a wet towel or something?
Mate, you go into that survival mode. You just go, bang. I remember I'm a big doco man, you know that. Yeah, I'm a big doco man. And, I remember watching something about burns, just getting cold water on. So I go straight to the shower. I'm sitting under the shower with cold water. And I go, gee whiz, I feel fine. Like, it doesn't even hurt. That feels like totally good. So I turn the shower off and I go, oh, it was the most excruciating pain I've had. So if I don't have cold water on it, I couldn't like hold my face. So I didn't want anyone to panic and I was home alone. So I've got my phone. I'm like, oh, we had two doctors at the club this day. So I called one and I was like, mate, look, how you going? You all good? Yeah, look, like, just burnt my eyebrows off, just a bit of a mishap, like, all good.
Nothing big, just
he goes, yeah, minor. Yeah, just keep the cold water on it, mate, you'll be fine, all good. And I go, okay, cool. I was like, oh, geez, this is really hurting. Like, I couldn't get the water off. So I'm in the shower calling him, out of the water phone. And I call the next one, I go, mate, look, this is what's happened again. What do you reckon? He goes, yeah, just keep the cold water on. He goes, but just send me a photo of your face so, like, I know it's not too... you know, not too bad. So anyway, I've taken a selfie. I pretty much clicked send and he started calling me back straight away. He said, get to emergency now. And I was like, wow, okay, so.
You're mentally out of it, but like,
I didn't want, I don't like it when I know my partner, Justine, and my mum, they panic. So I didn't want them to panic. I didn't want them to take me to the hospital because I was home alone. So I thought, look, I'm just going to go by myself because otherwise they're going to freak out. I'll be fine. It's all good. So I got a towel, drenched it in wet water, had a bucket in the car, cut out two eye holes, and drove to emergency with like a towel on my face with like the eyes cut out. And I've got to emergency, I'm sitting there and like, you know how bad it is when people just can't stop staring at you, just going like, gee whiz, this bloke's bad. Like, I'm pretty sure a guy walked in, he had a heart attack, and he goes, no, let this guy go in for me. Like, that's how bad it was. I was just like, shit. So yeah, anyway, long story short, I'm sitting there. They've got this gel on my face. I was in there for probably 6 hours just sitting there. They were just, you know, doing all the stuff. And she said to me, the actual chick said to me, she goes, you are so lucky because if you didn't put water on your face, you'd have scarring for life.
Mm.
And this is a moneymaker, mate. This is... this is
it's a head for podcast.
It's everything. Yeah. This is the moneymaker. So I am very lucky, but the funniest part was, look, and we'll get some photos up, but...
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a good time. It was off-season. I had a lot on. I didn't want to miss it, so I didn't. And I was rocking up to these things, and people genuinely thought I was like it was bad. I was technically a burns victim.
It's shocking.
I'm not joking when I say that. Like, I actually had to apply cream on my face every day. I had to wear sunscreen for 6 months, like special type. Lost all the hair on my face, had no eyebrows. My sister had to draw them on for me all the time.
I heard that you were drawing them on for 2 weeks with black texter.
Oh, we had to draw them on. Yeah, it was longer than that. I'll tell you what. You think a bad haircut's bad, mate. Try burning your eyebrows off. They grow that slowly.
Oh, I don't know. That haircut's pretty bad.
The worst part was rocking up to the club and seeing the boys. It was probably 4 weeks after, and I thought, I'm okay now. It's all good. And I remember, I'll never forget, I walked in and Murph walked around the corner 20 metres away. And he goes, holy shit, what happened to your face? So I thought it was good, but yeah, obviously it took a good time to recover.
Yeah, it's. I'm looking forward to everyone. I mean, I'm not really looking forward. The photo that you've got is real bad.
Yeah.
Did you get the wood chipper in the end?
No. I politely actually called the guy. I said, "Mate, I'm going to have to call you back," and just hung up.
Mate, you've done some stupid things in your life. Talk to us about you and your old man. You're obviously very tight. Great relationship.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how he was after you flooded his house.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a highlight of the relationship, I'll tell you that. And I think a lot of people have done this before, but being the kid, being stupid.
How old were you?
I reckon I would have been 14.
So, yeah.
I would have been 14 the first time.
So your dad would be going, he knows
14 the first time.
He anyway, knows right from wrong.
So, as you do when you're a kid, you're looking to recover. I was running the bath. So I got home, running a hot bath. And went upstairs on the phone, just chatting.
Phone time, screen
pre, this
time.
This was pre Justine, so probably just chatting to multiple women. Pretty sure it was mum.
You little player.
Do you want me to edit that, mate?
Pretty sure it was mum.
Jeez, edit that one, would you?
Yeah, right? I might need to.
Yeah, I was upstairs on the phone. Anyway, obviously just totally forgot about the bath. About an hour's gone by.
Ooh.
Walked downstairs and... yeah, hit the water, and I go, gee whiz, turn the light on. I'm not kidding, the whole house, and we got carpet, is flooded, like the whole house. And I go, shit. Mum and Jess are away. They were actually in Europe. My sister was living in Germany at this stage, so it was just me and Dad. And I remember going, this isn't good. This is not good at all. And Dad got home.
What time did he get home, like after the bath?
The worst part was he'd been at the races all day.
Oh, so he's pissed.
He had a few beers.
Oh,
and
Alphonse in tow.
He just walked in and he goes, what the f-? And I go, Dad. And he goes, what the f-? And I'm like, Dad, I'm sorry. He goes, I'm not mad. But just what the f-? And I was like, far out. So anyway, I turned the bath off. next day we had someone in to clean it all up. We cleaned it all up and it wasn't good, mate. We had to drench the carpet out. It probably set them back a few, but Tommy, the worst part was, mate, it happened again.
Oh, no, don't, no.
I did the same thing again, and I'm talking probably within 4 months.
Oh, no.
And, mate, Dad come home again.
From the races?
I can't tell you what he said that time.
Oh.
It wasn't good. I've done it twice, and, gee whiz, we got through it, but it took a while.
Yeah, I could just imagine that. That's a fantastic story. Mate, talk me through where you learnt. You talked about how you're not allowed to wear singlets in the gym, but geez, you love getting naked. I've never seen a man just so happy with himself naked.
I've got nothing to be proud about, mate. But I don't know where you're going with this.
Where did you come up with this naked handstand special? It's a locker room special. Who taught you this stuff? And if no one's taught you it, where'd you come up with it?
Gee whiz. We can go into this now, I suppose. But, it's just one of those things, mate. I always just like to get the boys up and, playing footy. Sometimes the boys need someone to get them up. And I thought, that's my role. Would like to do that for the guys each and now and then to get everyone up and about. And, the boys love that one. Cade Simpson's favourite, actually. He liked that one.
Explain what you do.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory, mate. It's called the naked handstand.
A bit of twerking in that involved as well.
No. There's no twerking. It's just get up there and, as you know, mate, I'm pound for pound one of the strongest blokes you've seen. So I can do a few. You think Ackermanis can do a few push-ups? So I can do a few. I was up there for a while. That was good fun. So no, look, I think it's funny, mate. It's all the boys know out there, and girls, I suppose. What happens in the change room stays there, and it's it was probably the spot where I got best on more times than I did on the footy field. That's for sure.
Oh, it's good. We're gonna lead into fashion. I know you're the fashion king. You call yourself. You love your Bridge Climb hat. Where'd you purchase it? Why do you wear it every day?
Well, I didn't actually purchase that hat. Jake, my housemate, actually did it with his missus, and I just liked the hat, so I stole it. There was two, so I've been rotating two for the last 2 years. But I have a little bit of a funny thing with hats. I've had three hats in my life that I wear, and I have a rule that I don't buy them. I just find them. So the hat comes to me. I had another one that I found.
My hobby hats.
Yeah, I had another one that I found in the Gold Coast Currawa Surf Lifesaving Club. When I say found, it was questionable. It was probably someone's. I just picked it up and took it, and I rocked that for a couple of years. And then I found the Bridge Climb, and now that's the goal until I find another one. Then
that kind of sums up your kit. I mean, you do wear your dad's cargo pants regularly. Did you steal them off him as well?
Oh, coming from you, mate. Seriously,
is your kit. Correct me if I'm wrong. Bridge Climb hat, AirPods, sometimes one in, just so you pretend like you're listening to us. Dad's cargo pants. $80 Yeezy socks, and I will say, as expensive as they get, the most elite shoes you can find on the market.
I do love my shoes. I do love my sneakers. I'm a bit of a sneaker freaker, and that's probably the only thing I do spend my money on. Definitely not hats, but I do love my sneakers and my socks. Socks are a big thing for me. I don't like socks like as in pattern socks, but they're just socks that are comfortable. So the shoes are good. I like going a bit oversized on all the clothes because I'm pretty skinny, so it makes me look a bit bigger.
Big lats, though. You do have the pull-up record for your weight.
Pull-up record, yep.
We'll lead into Frankie.
Oh.
Now, you
that's great.
You do have a ridiculous love affair with Frankie. Your girlfriend reckons you regularly serenade her with your guitar. You sing her love songs. And you also sing goodnight songs to her. At the moment, you're actually trying to convince Jake, your housemate, to move out of his room so that she can have her own bed in Paddington. She is easily your best friend and the love of your life. You regularly remind Juz that she is number two. Is that true?
Oh, mate, that's no truer word spoken. And Frank, yeah, she's just one of a kind.
What is it with this dog that you love?
She's me in an animal, I think. She's just so...
Stinky.
No, she's just crazy.
Bad haircut.
Yeah, she's so crazy. She's just got an infectious personality that people just love being around. Not annoying at all. And
he's talking himself up.
Frank's great. We have a great relationship. I walk her every morning. We go to the park. We have the same routine. No doubt, you know, we're soulmates, and it's true. You know, I tell Jake every day, as soon as he plays up, Frank gets his room. I tell Juz, you know, just be careful because, you know, Frankie's my girl. She's number one. I have learned specifically a few songs on the guitar to play it.
It's outstanding. And I've heard that when you and Juz do have a fight, which is, you know, very few, but you do refer to her as your housemate and to the dog as your girlfriend. Is that true?
Yes. No, it was actually funny because me and Juz don't fight at all. 10 years, we never had a fight, but we did have one fight not long ago in Europe. And probably the one good thing that came out of that was we'll chat about it after. She goes, wow, like, I just knew that I was never going to see Frank again.
Is it true that we know that your dad kisses you on the lips? Would you kiss Frankie on the lips as well? I've heard that.
This is a genuine stitch up with this dad joke. I find it so funny, but I wish that it wasn't me that was getting this. 100%. Frank, you know, she's a human. I call her my little human angel, little cherry pub plumber pie. She's a beautiful girl.
No, you do love her, and it is good. I'm going to move on to home life. Obviously, mm-hmm. One thing you do, and I know this because I'm very close to you and your housemates. You're all energy, you're all positivity. But gee whiz, as soon as you get home, it's like you need an hour to just let some steam off. And poor Jakey boy, you just tee off on him.
That's not true. The truth to that is, I give everything during the day. I'm always on. I'm all for the people. I get the boys up when they're flat. I'm there. And you know that I'm best on every day. But when I get home, mate, I like to switch off and I like to calm down. I like to just sit on the couch and I like to watch my murder mystery documentaries.
You do love them.
Okay? That's all I like to do. But when I get Jake, my housemate, God bless his soul, I love him to death. But when I get him, he works on a laptop. He doesn't talk to anyone all
works
day.
Works for the man.
He works for the man. He's not the man, like myself. And he gets home and he wants to ask me 21 questions every 3 seconds. I just say, Jakey boy, shut up. I've been providing the good times all day. I don't want to get home. I just want to switch off and I want to do it again and rejuvenate. And he doesn't like that.
He doesn't. And he actually told me. And he did say, ask Dill, has he got any allergies? Do you have any allergies?
Oh, I know where he's going with this. It'll be housework.
Apparently you're allergic to the vacuum. Every weekend it comes out and then he goes missing. Do you know how to work it?
Oh, yeah, fair enough. It's fair enough. Mate, look, as I said, I provide the good dimes at home. I don't provide the cleaning service. They can pick up the slack there.
Oh, poor Jakey boy. And no one else has the chance to sit on the big couch because all you do is lie across it and make no room for anyone else in the small Paddington apartment with one couch and one stool.
Again, mate, I think I'll find people agree with me on this. When we moved in the house, I said to Jake, I'm going to buy this couch. I'm going to buy this couch because I want a couch to myself. If you want to buy a couch, you can have your own couch and it's yours. And I'm wrapped for you. We'll sit there. We'll be couch buddies. You have your couch. I'll have mine. Happy days. Jake goes, no, I don't want a couch, mate. I don't want a couch. So I said to him, that's fine. You're not sitting on mine. So it's my couch. He sits on it when I'm away. And he's flat now that I won't be going away too much because he won't be getting the couch at all.
Oh, it's good. Mate, that's pretty much all I've got. I mean, we've got plenty more, but we probably can't talk about it. I want to really touch on Dylan Friends. It's more of a serious segment. So yeah. I want to touch on, well, firstly, when did you start it? When did you first go, I'm going to set up a podcast. I'm going to become, you know, you're now number one on the charts. It's an incredible effort. So well done. You know, I take the piss out of you, but we expect nothing less. That's, as they say in footy,
excellence.
That's the standard deal. So make sure you do it every week.
I know.
When did you start it?
Mate, I started it when I got to the Giants, but basically I started it. It's funny the reason. I started the podcast because I wanted to have something to show because I said, look, I left Carlton, had absolutely nothing, and I wanted to get to the Giants. If it lasted 12 months, I said, look, here's a podcast. I've interviewed a few guys so that if I want to do a job, at least I've got a little bit of a prototype to show that, you know, I've done something and I haven't just done nothing. Mm-hmm. But in saying that, it's actually turned into a bit more than that and been incredible. And on a serious note, I do have to thank you two because without both your help, it wouldn't be anywhere today. Ryan obviously taught me everything I know, editing, so I appreciate that. Tommy, one of my best mates at the club, but gee whiz, if I ever missed a week with a podcast, he'd really let me know about it. And he used to tell me, you know, we've had a few nearly punch-ons at Bake Bar.
Got to round the point home sometimes.
We do, and, you know, he sat me down, he said, mate, like, are you going to be serious about this or what? And, you know, the only reason I really did was we had some massive chats about taking it to the next level, and without your help, I definitely wouldn't have done that. And I've got to thank you for that. But it's been incredible, the journey. Gee whiz, I've learned a lot. You know, it started as a bit of a joke and whatnot, but yeah, you know, learning how to edit them, learning how to produce a show and put it together, learning how to book guests, and as a guy that I am that loves having conversations with the people, I don't like asking people of too much, and you know that. But doing that and just, you know, regrettably sliding into DMs and just asking people, you know,
it's
hard, but you just got to do it.
The hustle's hard, and geez, you've done an amazing job. You can't forget that. I think this is the 27th episode. You're 2 years old.
Yeah, about 18 months.
Looking forward to the beers at the second birthday. When is the birthday?
That'll be mid next year, won't it?
Yeah. It'll be about then.
And geez, you should be proud of yourself. You got heaps, you're only just scratching the surface. Talk about the experiences because I know what it's like. The hustle is very, the startup.
And any startup, it's awkward.
But no one will understand this if they're an athlete because our schedules are ridiculous. They're floating. Everything, you know, everything moves everywhere. Oh, meeting's been cancelled. You know, you got a podcast scheduled in. Oh, can't rock up because we've just moved the meeting back forward. Got to go see this guy to meet this guy to go meet this guy to hopefully get onto this guy and then I can sit down this guy. That's what it's really like.
100%.
Talk to me about some funny experiences. Some of the people that you don't have to name who's pulled out, but some places you've done the interviews. some amazing. What's the most enjoyable experience you've had so far?
Geez, none of it's enjoyable. It's just stressful. But I'll say some of the funny things that have happened. Like you said, mate, the floating schedule is incredible. And I always say to the boys, when they go home and they go and sip at the lattes, I say, okay, boys, day's finished, but the work starts now for me. I'm on to the second job and I'm going to get going. But, I was sort of joking, but half serious as well, because it actually did. And we'd go down to Bake Bar, one of the cafes here in Double Bay, and just sit down until 6 o'clock at night and just brainstorm, plan episodes.
Emailing
people, seeing if we can get on some network here, and everywhere. And it was unreal. I felt like we were on, buddy, what's that show called? The business show?
Fish Tank or something.
Fish Tank, whatever it is. And it's been awesome learning that hustle and grind, but... like you said, the schedule changes, and I can say it now. There might have been a few days where I've left early and not told anyone, and I missed a few meetings and just sort of and got going, because mid-year I sort of knew that footy was finishing and this was going to be my next thing, so it did take priority.
There was, mate, I got to say though, that the most annoying guest has got to have been Tommy so far. The amount of times Dill rang me and said, Tommy's telling me that this has got to come out. Oh, no, we've got to put this in because it's the glasses.
Yours was the toughest one. That episode was one of the best, but we've never had to take out more and play around with it more than anyone.
Bit honest, you asked me some, you did your mail, you did your research, and unfortunately we can't tell all the stories, Dill. So, I've left out all the bad ones for you, all right? And... T-shirts, we've just created some. Now, this is you've just brought out the navy blue. It's let's touch on the footy show. It's gone viral. You now have to pre-order them because they sold out first go. How do you get yourself a pair? How do you get yourself a tee? What's going on there?
Yeah, mate, the tee's been incredible. I honestly did not think they'd go that well. I ordered about 50 and they sold out in... Sorry, I ordered about 100 and they sold out in about half an hour.
Mm.
We pre-ordered some more, got them in the next week, and yeah, they've been sent out. But I'm going to do a big pre-order. I'm going to hold off for the next month and do a big pre-order for Christmas. So you can buy your mum and dad a jumper and t-shirt. And there's a bit coming. Might get some stubby holders, some hats and whatnot, because... the support's been incredible. They can just buy them on www.dylanfriends.com/shop.
And they are actually pretty good t-shirts. I'm heading overseas this week. I'm going to be rocking them all over the country, sending you some pics. But what's next, mate? With the podcast now, you've got, it's very sad to say that you're leaving the club. It's such an incredible bloke to be around and very vibrant. But now you... get so much more time on your hands. You've got, I know what you've been up to, but you got a whole year ahead of you plus all the future. What's next? You're probably going to do a few other things outside of the podcast.
Yeah, 100%. It's still great. Like, I honestly don't have too much of a plan. I just want to take my time, not rush into anything. I'm definitely going to have the year off footy, take the year off. I just don't really want to play next year at all.
I've heard you might be at the Collegians.
Yeah, that's
year.
Definitely not true at all.
My mate from the Collegians reckons he's got you at full
that.
Forward.
I know
he
said
he'll
that.
Clear the 50.
Jake Trotter, and I just, there's no way it's happening at this stage. You never say never, but it's just, I want a bit of time off. The podcast, mate, I just want to take it to where it can get to. Like, I don't know where it's going to get to, but obviously I've already proved myself wrong at the moment, with it, and who knows where it can get to. I just want to chat to people. That's what I love doing. Got a few opportunities that haven't been locked in yet, but just got to wait and see what happens there. And then I'm just going to travel.
Yeah.
Going to do a big Europe trip, going to do a big States trip, live my life. And it's going to be awesome because, I don't know who I am without footy. I've done it since I was six, so...
I think the best
might
thing,
be a shocking bloke.
I might actually add you that. I might actually add you back in the WhatsApp group for that couple of months.
I'll get back in and get around the boys. I said to the guys, I was like, surely for a session next year, I just want to come up and just train, do a calf, and then go home.
Just the usual T2.
Yeah, it's a T2.
Dill, we're coming to the end now, so I'm sure there's a couple of people that you want to thank.
Yes, mate. Thank you. Fantastic. Loved being on the other end of the mic. It's been interesting. But, there is a few people I'd love to thank, mate. Obviously, the Carlton Footy Club and the Giants for the opportunity. I'll be forever indebted to the clubs. It's been the best 8 years of my life. Obviously, loved every single minute at the club. Wouldn't change a thing for the world. 41 games. You know, like I'm just so proud of all of them. To last that long, it's been unreal. My family, my mum, as we touched on earlier, she's just the greatest person in the world. Absolutely incredible. I wouldn't be anywhere without her. And my dad and my sister Jess, just two beautiful people that supported me along the way. My best mate Brock, he's just an incredible guy. He's obviously was an incredible footy player, and he didn't quite get to live out his dream, but gee, like, you know, he's just absolutely been the biggest support for me and absolutely incredible and done so well with everything else in life, and he calls me every week, and we talk every day nearly, and just he's been a release for me that just has helped me so much. He probably doesn't realise, probably the most important one of all, my beautiful partner Justine. She's just been, I'll probably get emotional, but she's just the most beautiful person in the world. The amount of support she gives me, and that we balance off each other so well. I'm crazy and she's quiet, and she brings me back to life and helps me out with everything, and she's always just there, shoulder to lean on. So thank you so much to her, and I can't wait for our next journey together. It's going to be unreal just to see what happens next. And then obviously just all my teammates along the way, they've made the journey as good as what it's been. I've got some lifelong friendships that definitely aren't going to finish now, and we're going to continue that on and just be, hopefully drinking beers together for the rest of our lives. Just to everyone else that's listening, mate, I can't believe the amount of people that have messaged me about the show, and that they listen, for one, is just incredible, but two, they enjoy it, and there'd be nothing without them, and I absolutely can't thank them enough, and it absolutely means the world to me, so please don't underrate that. And just can't wait for the next journey and see what's next, and like I said, mate, just join the ride. It's going to be all up from here. Thanks. Oh shit, I'm on the drive home. I forgot my boy Jakey, the housemate, the best man that's ever lived in Paddington with me. It'd be incredible not to mention you, mate. It's been one hell of a ride. Loved every minute of it, but you're still not getting on me couch, mate. See you later. This episode was proudly brought to you by Bonds. Thanks again for listening to the show. If you loved it, please rate and leave a review. If you have any feedback, want to suggest a guest, or advertise with Dylan Friend, you can contact me via email, dylan@dylanfriends.com, or slide into my DMs on Instagram, @DillBuckley or @DylanFriends. For bonus content and giveaways, sign up to the email list at www.dylanfriends.com. And to get notifications on release, make sure you subscribe via iTunes or wherever else you listen to the show. And remember, be yourself. Everyone else is taken.